Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Into baseball. He was a phenomenal player in high school, so much that he was the number one draft pick his senior year. He was drafted by the Mets. By the age of 21, Darryl was called up to the big leagues. And he was really excited about that. He made it. And he shares how, because of his father, and his father told him all his life growing up, you'll never amount to anything. You'll be worthless. So he dealt with low self-esteem. And he finally makes it to the big leagues. And on his first plane trip, one of the veteran players calls him to the back of the plane. He says, here, I want to show you what the big leagues is all about. And he introduces him to cocaine. It was on that plane when Darryl Strawberry started taking cocaine. That was his introduction to Major League Baseball. And he became a drug addict. Eventually, he had to get out of baseball, went through rehabilitation. And it was finding a relationship with Jesus Christ that made the difference. And Darryl was just talking as he shared. He says, my whole life I asked two questions. First, who am I? And number two, what's my purpose? Who am I? And it was because of that low self-esteem, he felt so bad about himself that he took the drugs on the plane because he wanted to fit in. He didn't want people to feel bad about him. When he made $1 million a year the first 8 years, and he finally went to the Los Angeles Dodgers, he signed a $20 million contract. He was going back home to Southern California. He loved, Dodgers were his team growing up. And even after signing a $20 million contract, winning the World Series, he was still empty. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know what his purpose was in life. It was coming to Christ that Darryl realized who he was, a beloved child of God. And that his purpose, and this is what he shared, this is what he said to us, he says, I realized that my purpose did not come from success. It did not come from how well I did on the baseball field. My purpose in life was caring about people. That's my purpose in life. That's what God has created us for, to care about people. He goes on to say that it's about seeing someone else in their condition and getting up out of your own condition and helping them. So many times we allow our condition to hold us back and to keep us from reaching out to others. We feel we're hurting too much. We can't reach out. We can't do anything. He says, I need to get up from my own condition and help others. That is our call. This morning, as we continue walking through the tabernacle, learning about how to pray, the part we're going to deal with today deals with our purpose in life. And that purpose is not just to enjoy Jesus. It's not just to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise him for his blessings. It's not just to come to the brazen altar and thank him for his sacrifice, that we're forgiven and we're going to heaven and we submit ourselves to him. It's not just going to the labor and spending time and confessing our sin. It's not just going to the table of showbread and reading the Word of God and letting him give a fresh revelation, because so many times our prayer focuses on us. Forgive me. Help me. You know, I need this. Fix this problem in my life. But today, as we look at the next piece, it's the lampstand. And take a look at your notes this morning. In the back of your bulletin and your sermon notes, this is what it says. The next piece of furniture, the lampstand, shows us, it represents a commission. The lampstand represents a commission that we have been given by God. Now, in the military, soldiers are given a commission. A commission is an authorization or a command to act in a prescribed manner. You're given a duty. You're given a mission. You know, jump out of this plane and take this enemy a fortress, or stand your post and guard it all night long. Don't fall asleep. You're given a commission, a duty to discharge. And as Christians, all of us have been given a commission by Jesus Christ. All of us have a duty. None of us are out of commission. Do you realize that you're on active duty in Christ? Christ's army. We sang about it. There's an army rising up, and each and every one of us has a commission. Now, if you're with us today, and you're a first-time guest, you're not a Christian, or maybe you never grew up in church, I want you to know, this message, you have a free pass on it. Because we're going to be talking about today, what is the Christian's responsibility? What is the Christian's doing? So you can just follow along and listen along, but realize you get a free pass today. You good with that? Good. All right. Now, we're going to take a look at what does the lampstand teach us about our commission, because there's a lot of symbolism. We're not going to cover all of it, but there is a lot there that teaches us about what our commission is. And if you're taking notes this morning, number one, our commission is to shine the light of Christ. Our commission is to shine the light of Jesus Christ. John, who is one of Jesus' disciples, recorded this in his gospel. He recorded what Jesus said, and Jesus said in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. What Jesus was referring to is that he was illuminating the way to God. He was revealing the way. He was showing the way. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb that was offered on the brazen altar that we've been studying about, we studied about a few weeks ago, he gave his life so that you and I could be forgiven. So that we would confess him as Lord. We would give him control of our life. We have a relationship with God. And Jesus was saying, it's not by works, it's not by religion, but it's by surrendering your life. And Jesus showed us how to reach God. That's through the cross. It's through the blood that he paid, that he shed for our sin. Now, Jesus not only said, I am the light, but a guy named Matthew, another one of Jesus' followers, he recorded something that Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 14. Jesus said, you, speaking to his followers, every Christian, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so Jesus said, hey, I am the light, you're the light. Just as I have shown people the way to the Father, that's your responsibility. You show people the way to the Father. You tell them the good news that I have died for their sin. You help bring them into my kingdom, into my ways. That's what we are to do. The lampstand, it would shine light. The lampstand would shine light. And so that's what we're to do. It reminds us that I have a commission to shine for Jesus. Yet how many times is it so easy? We get caught up in busyness. We get caught up in problems. We get caught up in situations. And we're not thinking about, Lord, help me shine for you today. And so that's why as we're coming through the tabernacle, we're praying through the tabernacle, when we're thinking of the lampstand, it reminds us, today I need to pray, God, shine through me. God, use me. God, open up doors of opportunity for me. Help me to be sensitive and aware to those that are hurting, because my call is to help people. That's all of us. And so the lampstand encourages us to pray for our commission, to pray that God would use us. What do people see when they look at your life? Because you see, it's not just talking the talk. It's also walking the walk. What do they see? Do they see a humble, unselfish servant who cares for other people? Or do they see pride, jealousy, a passion for sin instead of a passion for Jesus? Do they see the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Or do they say bitterness, depression, anxiety, quick-temperedness, meanness, badness, unfaithfulness, harshness, and out of control? My life needs to shine the light of Jesus. Not just in my verbal witness, but in my daily witness. In how I live and how I walk. And so I'm praying, God, use me. And so this is the first thing that it teaches us, that I am to shine. And so we make this act of, God, I'm on commission, I'm on duty for you today, I'm shining your light. That's the first thing the lampstand teaches me about my commission. The second thing in your notes the lampstand teaches us is that our commission is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our commission is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot do this commission in our own power, in our own talent, in our own wisdom. Dr. Luke gave up his medical practice and he joined the Apostle Paul to carry out the commission of God to tell people about Christ. And Luke wrote some of the last words before Jesus ascended into heaven in the book of Acts chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 4 if you can direct your attention to the screens. But Jesus, he assembled them together and he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I was growing up, there was a commercial for American Express. Does anyone remember what their slogan was? American Express, don't leave home without it. It had the inference of, you can go anywhere, do anything if you just have the American Express card. Well, friends, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Christian's American Express card. Jesus said to the disciples, yes, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. But he also said, wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave home without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need power. You can't accomplish it on your own. It's like Visa. It goes anywhere you want to be. Because you see, when you have the power of God in your life, then you have God's wisdom, you have God's supernatural ability, you have healing to flow to others, you have guidance, you have so many things. And we need to seek God for power. So as we're praying, we need to ask God for his power. Because friends, Jesus has given you his charge card. He says, I've already paid the price for healing, for deliverance, for salvation. I paid for it on the cross. I'm giving you now my authority. You go and you take it to the world. You don't have to die on a cross. I did that already. In the day of Pentecost, when Jesus said, and all this took place, the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost. We're going to read about that in a little bit. But we need the Holy Spirit's power. I want to look at our text now, because it's going to teach us some things about the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 25, verse 31. And this is what it said. When they're making the lampstand, you shall make it of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its chaff, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, the flowers shall be of one piece. On the screen you can see that there's three branches on one side, three branches on the other, and then a lamp in the middle. There's seven lamps. We'll see how there's seven lamps in just a moment. That's what the lampstand looks like. And up to this point, as we've been looking at the elements of the tabernacle, they've been made out of two things. They've been made out of acacia wood, and they've been covered in gold. The acacia wood, we've learned, was very resistant to rotting. And that symbolized the sinless humanity of Jesus, as Jesus lived a perfect life. And then it was covered in gold, and that represents the deity. But with the lampstand, there's no acacia wood. It's only gold, symbolizing deity. And if you're taking notes this morning, it's there. Verse 31, it says, there's pure hammered gold. The lampstand symbolizes the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through our life. And it was hammered gold. It wasn't poured into a mold, but they took one piece of gold and they hammered it into that lampstand. And friends, Jesus was hammered on the cross. He was hammered. They blindfolded him, and they smashed him, they punched him, they hit him. Hey, prophesy now, Christ, the Messiah. Who hit you? If you're really the Messiah, you tell us. You're blindfolded. You know, Jesus, he was blindfolded. He could have just pointed his finger and boom, zapped him. Lightning come out and kill them all. But he restrained himself. He let himself be beaten and hammered, nailed to a cross. And when he died, he opened heaven's gates open wide. And he said, I must go to the Father so that I can send another comforter, another helper. And when Jesus was hammered, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. When you ask Jesus in your life, you are saved. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You're not baptized in the Spirit because salvation and Holy Spirit baptism are two different things. I want you to write this down in your notes, and I want you to read this today. John chapter 20. Okay? In John chapter 20 is the first day of Jesus' resurrection. And you come to verses about 19 to 23. Jesus, that very night, he appeared to his disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. That's when they were saved. That's when the Holy Spirit entered their life. But then, 40 days later, before he ascends into heaven, he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. They didn't lose him in the past 40 days. But Jesus knew there's another experience. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we need power. And so it was pure hammered gold. The next point in your notes, in verse 38, we see that the oil and the fire are present. These are symbols of the Holy Spirit. In verse 37 it says, you will make seven lamps. They shall arrange the lamps so that they will give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. That phrase, wick trimmers, tells us it was an oil-burning lamp. It was not candles. Sometimes I've heard people call this the golden candlestick. That's an inaccurate representation because it was not a candlestick. It's an oil-burning lamp. They put oil in it, and the lamps would then burn the oil. Oil in the Bible symbolize the Holy Spirit. For the priests, if you would read further in Exodus, there's a time when all this furniture and all the clothing they made for the priests and the priests themselves, they anointed them with oil, symbolizing the anointing of the Spirit. And then you had fire coming. It burnt fire all the time. And on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus said, wait for the power, in Acts chapter 2, the power came, and this is what it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You and I need to seek the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what kind of flame? A continual flame. Exodus 27. Flip two pages over from Exodus 25. Go to Exodus 27. Verse 20, this is what it says. You shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn half the time. No, continually. You see, as I come into prayer and I'm praying in the lampstand, I'm saying, Lord, help me all day long to burn continually with your oil. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to be aware of what's going on. Let the fire of God never go out. That's what the lampstand teaches us. That our witness for Jesus is all day long. It doesn't stop when you walk through the doors of NC or K-Dub or your middle school tomorrow. It doesn't stop when you get out in the oil field and everyone's swearing and telling dirty jokes. It doesn't stop when a problem hits you. But my witness for Christ is burning continually. That fire doesn't go out. Because when it does flicker, when it does go out, I no longer have a witness. I no longer shine my light, and people are no longer seeing God in this world. So, burn bright. And then in verse 37, we're still under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Verse 37, it says there are seven lamps. These seven lamps, they represent the Spirit of God. In Revelation chapter 4, it says, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And in Isaiah 11:2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Bible commentators tell us that the seven spirits of God, they're not seven different spirits, but they're more like seven elements of the Holy Spirit. And when you're praying for God to use you in a mighty way, to anoint you as a witness, you can think of these seven aspects of the Holy Spirit in your notes. Take a look there. The first one, it says, the Holy Spirit will rest on us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, walk with me all day long. Be that continual force flowing in my life. And then it says wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how to do something. Pray in your prayer life, God, when I encounter a problem, show me what to do. When someone comes to me and they have a problem, give me wisdom. How to minister your light, how to minister your life and your hope. Give me wisdom for that situation. Number three is understanding. That's discerning situations, discerning people's character, discerning what's going on. Lord, help me to discern as I walk through this day. When someone rips into me, give me discernment. Help me not to rip back. Help me to understand what's going on. Give me understanding with my spouse. That was a good place for an amen. Give me understanding with my kids. Give me understanding with my parents. Give me understanding with the difficult people in my life. Pray for understanding. Fourth, pray for counsel. God, if I have an opportunity to give someone advice today, help me to give godly counsel, godly guidance. Give me that spirit of counsel to guide them and direct them. Number five is might. Pray for supernatural power. Lord, if I come across someone who's sick today, you speak to me. If you want to heal them, you speak to me. So I go and I pray, and they're healed. God has done that for me before. God, when I've been at work, when I was working a secular job, God said, well, pray for someone. I did, and they were supernaturally healed. And you know what? That person went and told the whole workplace, the light of Jesus shined that day. Pray for supernatural power. You can do miracles. Actually, no, you can't. Jesus can do miracles through you. If you are saved, then you can do miracles. Because it's not you, but it's Him. It's not by your might and power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It goes on to say, knowledge. Pray, Lord, help people to know You. You think of it, the unsaved person, they don't know God. They don't have the experiential knowledge of Jesus can save them and forgive them and come into their life and love them and give them abundant life and help them to overcome sin. Lord, let knowledge go forth. Let the unsaved be saved. Let them come to knowledge. And saved people, Lord, they need knowledge. How many of you need knowledge in your life? Yeah. God, help me to give people things that will help them grow in their knowledge of You. So, Lord, help me to just bring the knowledge of You and let Your knowledge increase in people's lives, save people. And the last one is the fear of the Lord. And this is a dread of offending God and a desire to serve Him. A fear of the Lord is not, oh man, I think God hates me. But it's walking in a way of being very aware that sin is what put Jesus on the cross. And that sin separates my fellowship. And if I sin, I'm breaking that communion, that intimacy. It doesn't mean that I've stopped being a Christian. But I've lost that connection. And now I've really hindered my ability to be that commissioned Christian, where I'm doing that duty. And so God, help me to be aware of that. Help me to have this reverence of You, that You're so awesome, You've done so much for me, that I do not sin. I want to please You. I want to do what You desire in my life. Then, the last thing that we're going to see about the lampstand, number three in your notes, is that our commission should be a priority passion. It should be a priority passion. Look at verse 33 of Exodus 25. It says, three bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch, with an ornamental knob and flower, and three bowls made like an almond blossoms on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and flower, and so for the six branches that come out of the lampstand. Here's a question for you. Why an almond blossom? Why not a peach blossom? Why not an apple blossom? Why not a magnolia? Here's the reason why. The root Hebrew word for almond, it means awakening. It means to awaken. And the reason the almond was given that word is because the almond tree was the first tree, the first plant coming out of winter that would bud and show signs of new life. And so the almond tree, when you see a bud on an almond tree, it's the very first one. Everything else is dead. That's what it's going to be in our community about a month from now or two. You know, all the trees are going to be empty. But you come out of winter and you see a bud on the almond tree, you know that new life is coming. And the almond tree was excited to tell everyone that life is here. It was eager. There was a zeal to announce that life was here. And the symbolism of the almond blossom and the lampstand says that we need to be eager and zealous about telling people that life has come, that life is present, that Jesus came to give you life and to have it more abundantly. You see, this commission is to be a passion in my life. And this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to distract you and me with our problems. He wants to distract us with fear and worry and anxiety. And he wants us to get caught up in sin, and then get caught up in pleasure, and get caught up in comfort, instead of the commission God has, because he doesn't want anyone to come to Christ. And he tries to distract us with good things, with busyness, so that we're so preoccupied that even if someone hurting does come up, and God says, minister to him, our mind is so busy and muddled, I'm not even thinking of how I can be a minister of Jesus Christ to them. We need to be people that let the almonds blossom in our life. There is a zeal. And when I pray in the morning, God, give me someone. Give me someone today. Bring someone across my path. Open that conversation with my neighbor when I take my trash out. Open up something at work, in the classroom, in the locker room, on the street, in the grocery store. Lord, wherever I go, give me an opportunity. It's a passion. I want to awaken the world that life has come. Jesus said, wait. Wait for the power. You know what they did? They prayed for 10 days. And then they received the infilling. You fast forward a few chapters later, they were praying and they were again filled with the Holy Spirit and the place was shaken. Prayer is an essential component. And not just prayer, bless me God, heal me God, give me, give me, give me. No. Prayer that says, Lord, help me to be this lampstand that shines your light, that shines your love. A people that are praying, God, change the world through me. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive two things, supernatural power and a supernatural language. Some of you, you may be scared of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what? You don't have to be. You might say, this whole tongue-talking thing, I don't get how that works. You know what? I don't either. It just happens. But tongues, and here's the thing. If you're baptized in the Spirit, you need to exercise your prayer language. Tongues is when the Holy Spirit speaks through you to God. The Holy Spirit's praying through you. And He prays perfect prayers because He knows God's will. He knows your needs. He's all-knowing. He knows what we're going to face in the day. He knows the ministry opportunities. So pray in tongues. Make that part of your prayer life. I know people that have been baptized in the Spirit and they rarely pray in their prayer language. If that's you today, you need a refilling. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to ask God to give you the baptism. All of us need to be filled with the oil of the Spirit so that our lamps can burn continually. Because here's the thing I found. I leak. We all leak. And in the Bible, they have Paul said in Ephesians 5, 18, it's not in your notes, but it's a good verse to write down. He said, be filled. In the original language, it's keep on being filled. Keep on having a continual refilling, renewing. And why is that? Because you and I have a commission from God to shine the light of Jesus to the saved, to the unsaved, to go and make disciples, to help them grow, to bring them out of darkness.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.